Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're going to start this segment with an on-air apology. I want to apologize to all the listeners out there for the final 3 minutes of the last hour where we were hijacked and talked about a subject that very few people care about. Sean is in complete agreement with me.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah, but I could have put a stop to that, though. I mean, I did see him walk into the studio, and I could have easily kept his microphone off. So I'll take the hit. It's my fault.
Memo from Roger. Okay. I'll read that one in a minute. Starts out with, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Sadie Barber in a few moments. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Swung on and hit in the air to center field. Kane going back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. A three-run home run for Gary Sanchez to dead center over the 410 foot sign. The Sanchino. Gary is scary, and the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
How many times does he have to say that this year? Wow. Yankees up 7-1 after that home run. All right. Very pleased to bring in Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber. Sandy, welcome, and it's great to have you with us.
Good afternoon and this beautiful day in State College.
It sure is. I want to start with their 31 sports here. Seven end up winning Big Ten championships with the Big Ten Men's Outdoor Track and Field Championship, hosted here, by the way. When you look back on this year, what are some elements that jump out to you?
Well, there are a lot. And I would just say the overall comprehensive excellence, yes, a national championship in wrestling, individual national champions in wrestling, those five in wrestling, and the one in men's gymnastics on the pommel horse, the nine conference championships, so the seven Big Ten and the two EIVA with men's volleyball regular season and post. But it's just a level of excellence across the board. It's in the competitive venue. It's academic. It's in the community. It's the impact we're having as an athletic department. It's the impact that our coaches and our support staff and our faculty are having on student athletes. We could be better. We had 22 of 31 of our programs went to postseason, whether it be a bowl game or NCAAs. And those nine that didn't go, they want to be better. And the 21 that did, other than Coach Sanderson and wrestling, which he always wants to be better, but there couldn't be a better result than we had.
When you went out on the coaches' caravan, what was the tone of the conversation and the questions that you received along the way?
It was really positive, but it always has been. It's my second caravan. We took a hiatus my second year. So this is, out of my 3 years, this is the second caravan that we went on. And it's always been positive. Penn Staters are always very optimistic. They're, as long as we're delivering on our end of the deal, they're very positive about how we're representing them, through academic performance, through character and leadership, et cetera. So that hasn't changed at all. But it's a lot of questions about, well, how did you do it? How did you do it, Coach Franklin? What was the key element to the resurgence of our program and that incredible Big Ten title in Indy against Wisconsin that led us obviously to the Rose Bowl? It was what's next. It was around the facilities master plan and when are we going to get started on the stadium, Beaver Stadium renovations? When are we going to get started on Jeffrey Field renovations? When are we, all these kinds of things, which is, I view as the athletic director, really, really positive that people are embracing the future, embracing the concept of investing in the comprehensive excellence and the impact we can have on students.
Of course, along the way, scheduling will come up with you as well and with him, but with you it'll come up. Naturally, when you're in Altoona, you're going to be asked about the Pitt series, which you addressed. I want to address it in a different way. When you have 9 conference games, how important is it for Penn State Athletics to support the program, all programs, to have 7 home games, which then in turn, what does that do to your scheduling flexibility?
Yeah, so I think seven home games is a must. It's a must from the standpoint of our fan base and wanting to give people an opportunity to come to Beaver Stadium. And then the challenge you have is now you've got an even odd situation with Big Ten games. You've got a year that you've got 5 and you've got a year that you've got 4. So you're not always looking to fill 3, or you're not always looking to fill 2. Some years it's 2, and some years it's 3. So that does present itself a challenge. But then the other thing that you mentioned from a 7 home game standpoint, there is the financial piece of that. Although you might, depending on how you want to schedule, you might get a guarantee to go to a one-off to go do a neutral site game somewhere,
right.
That could have some pretty good revenue ramifications. I think, Steve, it'll be a rare occasion that we will do that, because that essentially would, in most cases, take away a home game from our slate, and I don't think that's the right thing to do. Other than perhaps a rare occasion, I don't think that's the right thing to do for our fan base.
And I had asked you about this before, but I'll bring it back in. Bringing Auburn onto the schedule the way you did, what kind of message does that send to Penn State fans, big picture-wise, and where Penn State wants to compete, national championships and so forth?
Well, I think that where Penn State wants to compete, there's no question. There's Coach Franklin and Sandy Barber and I think that the Penn State Nation are all in lockstep on that. And that's where our goal is ultimately to be in the national championship hunt, and win a national championship. And I think the challenge right now is that with the college football playoff being so new, we've got, what is it, 3 years of body of work.
Right.
The question is, what's the best path to that? So we've got to combine that. I think we've got to balance that with, I do believe that we owe our fan base a big time intersectional matchup like in Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Once a home and home series, once in some number of years. Whether it's out of every 6 years or out of every 8 years, you've got that home and home in there. We're going to schedule a Power 5 opponent, an Autonomy 5 opponent every year.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're kind of looking at now is once every 6 to 8 years, 2 of those are this big time intersectional. And then the other 4 or 6, are, what I would consider more regional opponents, a Virginia Tech, a West Virginia,
right.
Obviously very, very good, very competitive, really challenging,
yeah,
programs, but not the big intersectional that I believe Penn State, that's part of our tradition. We've always done that in some number of years, not every year,
right?
And I don't think that would be right in terms of the competitive balance equation for your football program. But it is, you know, a home and home in some pattern of and sequence of years.
In college basketball, while not being perfect, the subject of RPI comes up in scheduling in college basketball. Is the college football playoff still too young to get a read on that? And down the road, could that be a consideration? Hey, we have to think, quote, RPI reasons, you know, and that's a general, RPI is a general term, you know what I mean, in terms of scheduling. Do you want to wait a little bit on that to see if how that plays out?
Well, I think the important thing, and when you say RPI, Steve, you're really talking strength of schedule, right?
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Yeah, what factor, what significance does who you play? Because you got to win.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you got. I think they've showed that you can overcome an early loss. Mm-hmm. And I think that will probably always be the case. But I think the strength of schedule thing, as the strength of schedule factor, has been they've been a little bit inconsistent about
yes,
that.
That's right.
At best. And I think the Washington's inclusion this year, I've said it very publicly. I have the utmost respect for their athletic director and their head football coach. This is not a diss on Washington at all. I just felt like that was the selection of Washington was a reversal of what they'd done in the first 2 years, and what they'd said was the importance of who you play and your strength of schedule. So time will tell.
Right, exactly. Out of the Big Ten meetings, one of the topics they came out with, it was discussed extensively once the meetings were over with, was there wasn't exactly a lot of people enamored with Friday Night Football. You came out right away and you said, hey, look, this is where we stand on it at Penn State and so forth. What was it like talking about that? And did you think the Big Ten in some quarters was a bit surprised by the initial reaction to it?
So let me take the last part first.
Yeah.
I do think we were a little bit surprised because, frankly, everybody else in the country is doing it.
Right.
And we decide to do it on a somewhat limited basis, and the reaction is pretty significant. What I love about the Big Ten is that there is absolutely a recognition of differences amongst campuses and, you know, different issues and different tolerances, and we were asked. You know, do you want to participate? And we said no, we don't. We'll play on the road a Friday night if need be, and we would consider once every 2, 3, 4 years, we would consider playing a Friday afternoon on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You know, everybody else was asked their same tolerance levels, and then as a conference we announced, and there was a pretty significant reaction. Fortunately, again, we've got a conference that's I think very astute and very flexible where we need to be, and we were able to take into consideration some of the concerns and roll it back a little bit. But again, everyone is a little bit of a stretch, but 95% of the country is doing it in one way, shape, or form.
Right, and there's no question about that. Finally,
yeah, I'll also say we were in touch. Penn State was in touch with Bob Lombardi, the executive director of our state high school association, and Bob has been absolutely terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been with us before, running the PIAA. He's, you know, and he understands where everything goes. So, one final question that deals with basketball. I mean, you talked about this very openly. Where do you think, what is your opinion of where the program is now, and and what do you see based on what you have right here of what it can be?
Well, I there's no doubt in my mind we can be a program that competes in the Big Ten, and if you're competing in the Big Ten, you're competing on a national level, because it's one of the best conferences in the country. And I think, although, again, being very transparent and very, very honest, we didn't achieve what we would have liked to, what we thought we probably could this year, I have no doubt that we are on the right trajectory. And even though we didn't necessarily see improvement in the record, I think we saw a significant improvement in our competitiveness. And so I'm pleased that we're on the right trajectory and we're on the right track. And I believe that we're just around the corner from taking that turn and taking that big step. As I said last week on the Caravan, I don't know that step is directly to the NCAAs next year. I didn't say it outright, but I'll say it now. It might be an NIT and a significant run in the NIT before we can take that next step to the NCAAs. But it's there for us. It is going to happen for Penn State men's basketball.
Always a pleasure. I always enjoy the conversations very much. Sandy, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barbara will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The phones are ringing off the hook at Sunbury Motors Hyundai because right now we're offering the best savings in Hyundai's 30-year history, like up to $6,750 in total savings on the 2017 Sonata. It's called the Better Than Ever Sales Event, and it features the biggest total savings ever offered on Sonata, Elantra, Tucson, and Santa Fe Sport. So there's never been a better time to buy than the Better Than Ever Sales Event. Every Hyundai is also backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. America's best warranty. So visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai, Hyundai now before the biggest savings in Hyundai's Hyundai history are, well, history. Better is the reason to buy a Hyundai, Hyundai, and the Better Than Ever sales event is the reason to buy now. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is Hyundai, your home for, well, better. Better prices, better vehicles, and a better buying experience. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, Hyundai in North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and online at sunburyhyundai.com.
Hyundai!
Well, the show is tied together nicely today. You know, we bring Matt Cotrello on and we welcome him back. We talk about the dramatic opening when somebody quit the Shikellamy broadcast a year ago. And then in the final 3 or 4 minutes before the top of the hour, it really confirmed where we were going with the Matt Cotrello comments. What?
Confirmation accepted.
Noted. Noted. They've had all these races so far, and this is what happened. They were doing this, and this.
Five races. Time flies, and you're having fun.
Now I'm sitting there thinking to myself, boy, Cotrello would sound great doing football. All right.
Hollenbach back to throw. Has time, throwing it deep down the near side of the field for Fedorakis. It's caught, and he's in for the Green Dragon touchdown.
You know, it's great when you hear that slice of radio gold. Mm. Kind of makes you pine for Friday night. You know, but let's tie that in with the conversation we just had with Sandy Barber. That was one of the items coming out of the Big Ten meetings. That they taught the Big Ten. Look, Sandy's right. Well, she's right on. I mean, I agree with everything she talked about in that segment. Everything, and she was absolutely right in one area when she discussed that. Hey, look, everybody's been doing it. Like the Pac-12's been on Friday night. The Big 12 has been on Friday night. The Big 12's put marquee games on Friday night. TCU Baylor was a Friday night game. And so others have been doing Friday night. Now, the SEC hasn't done any. The Big Ten has only done it out of necessity. Remember, Michigan played Minnesota on that Friday night, but that was when they were back in the Metrodome, and that was during the baseball playoffs. They had to do something. And the ACC has had some Friday night games. But the SEC and the Big Ten have not. And I think the Big Ten was taken aback. I'm talking about the management of the Big Ten. I don't mean the athletic directors. The management of the Big Ten, maybe even really can stretch it to Jim Delaney. I think we're surprised. By the reaction of some people about the Big Ten maybe playing some Friday night games, and you notice they've scaled it back a bit since. And I think you have to be... I said this on day one. The Big Ten does not need to do this. Now, do conferences such as Conference USA, Big West, or excuse me, my apologies, Mountain West, the MAC, Conference USA, America, and so forth. Do they have to do it? Yes, they need to figure out a way to get their games on TV. The Big Ten doesn't. Friday night is for what we just heard: Lewisburg football, Shikellamy football, Selinsgrove Grove football, Milton football, Danville football. That's what Friday night's for. Saturday's for college football. And lots of it. Sunday's for the NFL. And I mean, that's what it's for. It's a formula that has worked now for years and years and years. And I think that what happened was that the Big Ten looked at Friday night and they saw all the college games being played on Friday night and felt that they have a showcase for certain programs. In other words, let's give Purdue a little showcase. Let's give Rutgers a little bit of a showcase and so forth. And I think they lost sight of Friday night football being important in Indiana, being important in New Jersey, and so forth. And it kind of taught them a valuable lesson.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports Bozo of the Day. I have no idea who asked. The reporter who asked Danny Ainge what it was like to beat Magic Johnson last night in the draft lottery. And Ainge looked at him and goes, "It's ping pong balls. What are you talking about?" Some days you have to wonder.
Will there ever come a day to have a vetting process before press credentials are released?
Well, I mean, it's like going on and then, you know, realizing nobody wants to talk about IndyCar and then trying to do it for 5 minutes. Like, okay. It's the same concept. Just felt like it was one of those reaffirming Matt Cotrillo moments. Did you feel that way? I did. It's like, it's great to have Matt back.
Matty Ice, back in the building. Awesome.
Absolutely. Oh.
He's got a wedding on the way. We should congratulate Matty, actually. So, wedding on the way, and got a whole trip to Hawaii planned, and I think it was early July.
That's great.
Yeah.
Notice how you now say plans that in early July, doesn't plan it for football season.
Yeah, some big news here at Sunbury Broadcasting with Matt returning and the other side of the glass over on 94KX. Drew Kelly announced his brand new co-host this morning who joined us.
Great.
Chelsea Pagana Davis. And yes, of the Pagana family. Of course, related to that one John Pagana who gave you the thumbs up on the golf course 2 weeks ago when you were 8 inches from the cup.
Well, he can hit it, by the way.
Oh, he sure can.
Dr. John can hit it.
And also, her mom can hit it, too. They're good. Oh, man. All right. So, yeah, lots of news. Yeah. And at some point, we'll announce our high school broadcasting lineup. I'm excited about that.
Yes.
Aren't you?
I am.
Big moment.
It will
be. You know how we're going to do it this year?
Oh, there's something we should do at the fall sports kickoff, right. You think?
No. We're going to do it like... In fact, we're going to do it at the fall sports kickoff. And we're going to do it exactly the same way the NBA does the draft lottery. We're going to put ping pong balls inside and have them float around. It's going to look like, you know, like they're drawing Powerball. First one will come up, boom, Milton. And the next one, Steve Williams. All right, there we go. Perfect. Shikalimi, Matt Catrillo. Okay. Okay, and finally, last but not least, we've picked up Mifflin County for the internet and the suit. It's amazing what you can do if you properly weight the ping pong balls. It allows even like Patrick Ewing to go to the Knicks. All right.
Famous Tom Petty song, "The Waiting is the Hardest Part."
Did you see that the American Football Coaches Association, listen to this, has proposed, now it's a long way from being fact, as it has to go through the NCAA process and so forth, the American Football Coaches Association has recommended that redshirting should be changed in college football. And their proposal is to allow, right now if you play the first three games, and then you don't play the rest of the year, you can redshirt. Well, the proposal they have is for it to be four games. And the four games can be any time during the year. So, in other words, if the final four regular season games and a player gets in and so forth, they still have eligibility for the next year. Or the final three games of the regular season in the bowl game. They still have eligibility for four more years. Or it could be game one, game four, game seven, game 10.
That's what I was just going to ask you, if there had to be in any type of consecutive order.
No consecutive. It could be as long as it's no more than four games. The American Football Coaches Association is proposing that the redshirting can still happen if it's, as long as it's four games or fewer. And it doesn't matter what time of the season the four games are played. You can play games 1, 2, 3 and then come back and play game 11. You can play game 3, game 7, 8, and game 12. Or you can play games 1, 2, 3 and then play the bowl game. But that's what they have proposed. Now, this is the American Football Coaches Association proposing this. Whether, you know, how this plays out with the NCAA, we'll see. But it is also from coaches drawing a unanimous thumbs up. And Nick Saban today, for example, gave his thumbs up to the redshirt rule tweak. Now, the American Football Coaches Association will be sending this rule to the NCAA to try and get a thumbs up on it. And Saban does make a really good point. Saban says this would enhance player development to some degree. And I agree with that. And as you know, I've been harping a lot on player development the last couple of months, because I think the rules right now, obviously, there are going to be people that are going to bend the rules. You know that. So if you give more coaches more time in the offseason to do player development and so forth, the
door is open to bending the rules on time. You and I both know that. Last night I watched some of the Marcus Dupree 30 for 30. Yeah, there are a lot of people back then bending the rules. Lots of rules. But I think that the more contact coaches have with players, the better. And I think that you want to do the best you can in player development, which is one of the areas that I've talked about a lot, that I think player development is really, you know, off-season player development is really important. And I think that not enough of it is done. That's why every time I talk about the value of a scholarship and they talk about players being paid, let's remember, it's not just the going to school part where you leave with no debt and so forth. Let's take it now from the football standpoint. Right, from a football standpoint, you have a head coach working on your development. You have an assistant coach working with you on your development. You go through practice films, game films, and everything else, and practices that open the door for you to improve, get better, and get a better feel for the game. You have a strength and conditioning coach that you do not have to pay for. You do not have to pay for a trainer. You have a trainer. You don't have to pay for a strength and conditioning coach. You have five of them. You have a weight room that you don't have to rent. It's there for you every day. And you have an individual coach that works specifically with you, and depending on how big your room is, four or five other people. That's what you have. I mean, just from a football point of view, you get to practice the game, you get to play the game, you get specialized weight training, specialized speed training, you have an athletic trainer to take care of your injuries. You have a coach that breaks down your game tape, a coach that teaches you on the field. You get all of this, and you have to pay nothing for it. Now, you pay for it with your sweat, your effort, your energy, and so forth. And that's where you pay for it. But if this were a wide-open, free, people-get-paid deal, all this training, especially in the off season, strength and conditioning, speed, land training, and then if something crops up, having a trainer, don't have to pay for any of that stuff. Don't have to pay for any of it. School provides all that. It's all part of your scholarship. It's like there's so many elements of this that are never taken into account when it comes to should they be paying players. You walk out, if you're smart, with your time and you see the big picture in life, you walk out with a degree and you walk out debt-free. Well, how many people are walking out of college debt-free these days? And if you do the football thing right, you've had your own specialized coach, your own specialized strength and conditioning session, your own weight room to work with anytime you wanted to, your own regimen, your own plan as to how to work and get better in your own player development situation, your own film work with people that know the game. You have all that and didn't have to pay for it. I mean, when these guys go down to combines and so forth to train and get ready for the combine, they're all going down there for free?
eventually they have to pay for it when they get drafted. There's a lot of areas that are not discussed. Again, in this business of talk shows, simple is easy. Simple is very easy. And a lot of people that do these shows opt for simple because simple is easy. You have to be able to think your way through it and understand what the pros and cons are of a situation and think your way through it. That's why when it comes to the scholarship thing, oh, they all should be paid. All right, well then how much should roster spots 25 through 85 be paid? Because every time this is brought up, you notice that when they bring up the topic, how much money does Lamar Jackson bring in for Louisville? How much money does Saquon Barkley bring in for Penn State? How much money does JT Barrett bring in for Ohio State? Okay, how much money does Billy Price bring in for Ohio State? And ask yourself, who's Billy Price? If you can come up with that answer, I'd be impressed. Come back with more in a moment. Former starting offensive guard, now the starting center. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. That's one thing that when people preach about whether college athletes should be paid, they can't answer what how much the 25 through 85 guys should be paid. They always talk about the stars. You look at all the money that Dalvin Cook brought into Florida State. Okay. What about the scholarship player who was 52 on the roster and barely got into any games? But they're on scholarship. I mean, how much do they get paid? I mean, I never hear that. All right. Tomorrow we have the Phillies on the show. And then on Friday, Dick Girardi's here. My brother's here in his last day of being single.
This kind of be the on-air bachelor party, in a way. Sort of.
Sort of.
Actually, you came up with a pretty good idea, which what we'll be doing on Friday afternoon during Kevin's weekly spot. Should be fun.
Yeah, we're going to do some trivia.
Yes.
Just a knocking around and a little bit of fun.
If you kick out a question, is it me and Kevin trying to figure it out, or is it like one-on-one?
Well, what I told him this morning when I talked to him was that we're each going to have four questions prepared ahead of time. So you have to prepare four, he has to prepare four, I have to prepare four.
I have one down, three to go.
All right, and so what we do is, say you start, Kevin and I have to answer it. And then it rotates to my turn. And then it's the two of you to answer it. Then it rotates to him. And then we'll do that.
Okay.
Do it that way. And I think that, we're just going to have fun. That's all it's going to be.
That's what it's all about every Friday.
Then Monday, Dan Baker is going to be on the show. And Tuesday, we have both Alan Bestwick, who will be calling his final Indy 500, and also Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. I will be in the studio to do that, in Sunbury, to do that show on Tuesday, which has brought with it many more questions than are needed. Why is he coming here? What's he doing? I actually will be on my way to Scranton I'm supposed to be there with Ricky Ronnie that night, and so I thought I'd do the show in Sunbury, which would give me a big head start to get to Scranton, so I'm there on time and I can do both. Because, look, the last thing I wanted to do was I wanted to not tell Tony Knopp, nah, let's do it Wednesday. Alan Bestwick, nah, let's do it Wednesday. They both committed to doing Tuesday, so I want to make sure that we're running and getting it done on Tuesday. So I'll do the show in the studio. I remember one time when Joe spoke up in Scranton, and I was the MC of the event. And we flew up there. 20 minutes. It was great. It was really great. Especially coming back like this is great.
So that was one of those nights where you're 1,200-1,300 in the room?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, but the flying part was just great. Oh, there was one time. It was for the Big 33. And we flew into, I guess we flew into Middletown. So Joe and I flew in together. And the guy picks up a car, and of course the car is completely packed with people. This is not like I'm going to pick you up with a car in a car, and there's four of us in the car, that's it. I mean, there's six people in the car. Like, okay, this is great. And now we're going through all these back roads to get to the Hershey Convention Center. And turning here, turning there. Right? I looked over at Joe. And I pointed at him. I said, your fault. And he looked back at me, puts his hands like, I know. Because these people wanted to spend extra time in the car with him. So we went on this route that was, we got there, and I said to him, I said, well, way to go. He goes, where were we? I said, Joe, I don't know where we were. I said, we were going all farmland, stone walls, things like that. I said, I have no idea where we were.
We weren't on Route 39.
I can assure you, I said, I know one thing. I said, he said, what's that? I said, it wasn't the shortcut. And he starts laughing. I said, I'm telling you, on the way back to the airport, I said, we're going to do one of two things. I'm either going to call us a cab, or I'm telling those people to take the highway. But I looked over at him, and Joe was sitting in the front seat, and I'm sitting in the back, and I looked over at him, and I mouthed the words, your fault. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.